Another special treat, a friend of mine, Dan Hare, and he's spoken with us, to us, many, many times, and he's far more learned about the Bible than anybody in this room, I dare say. But we all know about love, but I'm sure he's going to give us something more to think about and take home in our hearts, along with Lisa's music, and it all work together. Come on up, Dan.
Thank you. I'm kind of excited to hear what I've got to say after that. You know, I want to do a little guided meditation before we start. So if you kind of get comfortable in your seat, and if you're comfortable, shut your eyes. And it's called remember. So remember, first of all, to breathe. Inhale, let it go. Take in new life, let everything from the day go. Remember to breathe. Remember to slow your speaking cadence. Ponder each word before you speak. Remember. Remember to focus forward, for your past life happened yesterday. Your new life is now present in the moment. Remember, your journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step and then the other. Remember to be diligent, even militant, about what you allow to take up your mental space in your mind. Remember to release and turn away from fear in the past and look forward with confidence to the future. Remember to take back your power, each breath at a time. Go back to that place of fear and claim your strength. And remember that you are powerful, that you're beautiful, that you're elegant, and you're capable. And again, remember to breathe. Amen. You know, I think it's been a month or two since I talked last, and I guess the title of that little talk was, As a Man Thinketh, So Is He. That's what Jesus said. And I shared with you kind of a personal journey, and I'm not sure how many of you were there, and I know that I remember that talk more because I talked it, and those of you who were there got to bear through it, but the notion that so oftentimes that which affects us is from somebody else, of what they said, what they thought about us, or what they didn't say that we wanted them to say. We're looking from an outside place to create in us this sense of fulfillment and affirmation. And I shared with you kind of a humorous story, that my daughter, who's getting married in October, and it was last December during the holidays that I'd had 3 days of riding around with my daughter and son-in-law-to-be and my ex-wife. Hadn't done that in many, many years. And I remember, I understand now why we're in different places, but she's a lovely lady in her own way. And there was a point in that whole little process where, you know, I always tried to give affirmation of what a great mom she was, so on and so forth. And I realized that it was just impossible for her to say anything that was affirming to me and with regards to being a great father. And I never realized it, but for 25 years, I was looking for this other person to say something to me so I would feel better. And I realized I don't need that because I'm a great father. I'm an outstanding father. And I have a great relationship with my darling daughter. She's got me wrapped right around her fingers, as a few people know. But this idea that I was holding on to this, and then I actually had a little bit of time where I was angry about it. And then just in May, I went back to Arlington. My daughter graduated with her master's degree. And lo and behold, my ex-in-laws, were there, and my mom and the whole family and my ex-wife and her other daughter from her second current marriage. And it was really interesting because once I had let go of it, I found it was one evening, it was probably 9:30, everybody had gone to bed except my ex-wife and myself, TV's on. You know what? And it was very pleasant. I didn't need anything from her, and everything was just okay. I got what I needed from within, and it's because I came to the realization that I could affirm myself in that particular way. So fast forward, I was thinking that tonight I was going to continue that theme, and I've been on this docket for about 4 weeks now, and God has a funny sense of humor, but I had a really interesting experience. And I want to say today's Wednesday. 2 weeks ago yesterday, I get a phone call at 11:45 at night, and I was pretty much awake. And it was from a person who I traded emails with a year ago, a woman who I've never met to this day, who was going to rent a little garage studio and so on and so forth. And I was going through my inbox a few months ago, and I saw that in there, and I typed her a little email, hey, how are things working out? And she said, everything's great, wonderful, up in the Northwest. I say, you know, fantastic. Boom, thought it was all done. 11:45, 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I get a call, and it was from this woman, almost in the middle of the night. And it turns out that things weren't quite so good, that she was holed up in a motel room in the Northwest. She was in an abusive relationship, had a black eye, and just a bad deal, in a bad, bad place. And I talked to her for an hour and 45 minutes. You know, on your iPhone, you check the little thing. And it went by like this. And as we started to talk, and I gave her kind of the open-ended questions, she just started to unload the stuff. You know, drug usage, drug culture, just not good stuff. And I remember that she was just like unloading, and she's going, this happened, and he did this and that and that, and boom, boom, boom. And it's like the Holy Spirit came to me and said, okay, you got to interrupt this thing. And I says, listen. I said, listen to me. And it was kind of like that. It was very forceful. And the phone kind of got quiet. And I said, now listen. And I slowed my tone, and I said, I want you just to breathe. Don't say a word. I want you to breathe. And we breathed on the phone for I'm not sure how long. You know, not really that long. Maybe 30 seconds. But the thing that happened was absolutely amazing. There was a calmness from this frenetic kind of crystal methic. There was this, and I said, listen, I said, slow down. Before you say even a word, breathe and think about every word that you say. I'm not in a hurry. said, slow down, slow your cadence down. Breathe. And so you go, we went from this frenetic to, wow, this is happening. And I said, for whatever number of minutes that, you know, you've been telling me your stuff, I said, there's one thing that stands out. It all happened yesterday and before. The gentleman who beats you up and keeps you on totally dependent upon him and knows how to send you away and then give you the honeydew and come back to me, I won't do it again, I'll be nice, and back and forth and back and forth. That's all yesterday. And it turned out that he was in the hospital at the time. And this is a true story. And I got to tell you that as I go through this story, I don't know where it's going to go. It's a wild story. And it's not one of those stories that you read out of the Christian books that they have all the happy ending. And I don't know where this goes. But this is real. This is very, very real. And I said, everything you're talking about is in the past. Apparently this guy was in the hospital and I said, just calm down and do you have a place you can go? And we were talking about options. And she had friends back down in Oceanside and kind of back and forth and this and that. Anyway, the next day, I actually wrote this remember mantra in this prayer. That was Thursday, so Friday came Saturday and Sunday. But as we went through the conversation, I want to share this with you. I said to her, you know what? The only way that you're going to change your life is to take back your life, to create a new life, is if you look forward and all of those things that swim in your brain that take you to a place of fear, that if you look forward and not in the rear of your mirror, you'll be able to create a new life. I said, God is waiting there for you to simply open up your heart to him, and he will breathe a new life into you. And I said to her, you've got a long journey ahead of yourself. I mean, and I won't go into all the details, but this was an educated woman. I mean, animal science degrees and so on and so forth, but somehow got hooked into, you know how you say in life, why do I pick the bad men in my world and why do I pick the bad women? And there's just that thing. That thing that pushes our adrenaline gland, there's something familiar about it. Well, I'm sure this, after decades and decades of this wiring of her brain, that she was so in tune to it. I said, you've got to let go of the past. I said, you've got to allow yourself to be present. And in the very moment, and when you start to feel fear, and when you start to think about what he's going to do, and you know, what are you going to do without him, and you know, your lack of, your sense of inadequacy, and so on and so forth, you've got to let that go and breathe. And whenever you start to experience fear, breathe. And breathe again. And cleanse your mind and look forward. Not looking backwards. And I said, the only way this is going to work for you is that if you're stingy with what you allow yourself to think. And I thought about it for my own life. And this is the hilarious thing. You know, here I am helping save this girl because I am such a spiritual man and everything. And I'm, you know, and I'm not pontificating, but I'm sharing this, but I'm almost laughing to myself because the next couple of days, I'm thinking, well, you got one finger out and you got three of them pointing back to you, you know? And that's exactly the truth of it. It's like the lesson that God allowed me to share with someone else comes back because it's three times as powerful for me in my personal deepest life. The things that limit me, the things that slow me down and that take me to another place. I said, you know, you've got to go back and you've got to reclaim your power. And this is where it gets really interesting to me. When she started to go through some of the abuses, it wasn't like I got abused and here's number one, two, and three. It was like this outpouring of stuff. I says, you've got to go back and claim your power. You've given your power to this guy, this punk, this guy that thinks you're a sleazy, I can't even say the words, I'm in church. It says bad things. You know what I'm saying. Who doesn't see one good thing in you. She said to me, I asked him, do you like anything about me? And he said, I can't think of anything. And she said, well, think about it this week. Can you come up with one thing? One thing. And this is the person that's caretaking this scumbag. And so I said, you got to take back your power. I said, you know, we were talking about her animal science background and she loves animals and this sort of thing. And smart, very smart, very capable. And I said, God, you're so smart and intelligent and this and that. And then these words start coming to me. And this wasn't me being, these were just things that were coming through. And I said, you're intelligent. And I said, you know, you can, when she calmed down, I said, you have such elegant speech. I was giving her just words of positive stuff, good stuff. And so here's how the story goes. That's a Thursday. Friday, you know, we texted and we did this thing, and she says, I'm freaked out, and I'd kind of walk her through it, and I said, breathe. And then I basically typed out and I texted or emailed to her the remember. And on Sunday, I still can't believe I did this. On Sunday, the person was coming back to their motel room from the hospital. He got in some kind of accident, and she was getting really nervous because he was abusive. And I'm thinking, well, God, you know, you got to get. Can you get some friends, put some money together? Blah 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 blah. So yeah, I think so. And you know, a couple of calls the next day. Yeah, I'm working on it. And then you know how people that are in that world, they kind of get scattered again and they get all frenetic and their energy is going in these directions. And it was, breathe, just breathe, quiet yourself. So it's Sunday, I think it was about 5:30 in the afternoon, beautiful here in San Diego. She said, he's going to be home any time. And I said, well, God, can you get out of there? How close are you to the airport? 10 minutes from the airport. I said, wow. And at the end of the day, I'm on the internet, Southwest Airlines, putting down my credit card. True story. Bought her a ticket to San Diego. And the story gets even wilder. I said, do you have money for the cab to get there? I don't, but I'll figure this out. And it was a 7:20 flight. There was one more ticket. And I said, get your things and get to the airport. Because I had this feeling, like, you know, you need to get out of there. She said, okay, I'll figure it out. And I don't even want to ask how she figured it out, but she got there. And the plane stopped, and it left at 7:20. And this is like 6:20. It was just one of these... It was like a movie scene. It was like a movie scene is what it was. And so the flight stopped in Sacramento, and there was an hour layover. And I was a little bit concerned about her coming back down to San Diego because that was her old world. And I didn't have a place for her in my, you know, I've got a place with a variety of studios that I rent. So I was a little bit hesitant, but I knew she had to get out of there. In Sacramento, she walks off the plane, she walks into the bar, she locks eyes with a guy. They fall in love. She flies to Florida. This is a true story. And he's a professional, and I don't want to divulge it, but he's a nationally known professional man. And it was like, whew. And this is what he said. I've been praying for you for a long time, to, you know, that magic chemistry thing. And I don't know if it's good or bad. You know, I'm not up here to give you this good or bad thing. But this is, I'm reporting it like a documentarian. This is what happened. And I went, what the heck are you doing in Florida? You're supposed to be in San Diego at 11:45 and your friend Trish is going to pick you up. And what's up with this? She said, it was overwhelming. I said, okay. She says, he's a complete gentleman. For 3 days. They were just like, he was just this complete Southern gent. Now, I don't know what happened after 3 days, but I'm not going to go there. But he was genuinely a good man. It was like a, you know, you want to put God in a box? Forget about it. And there's a big sporting event, Daytona, which this person was involved with. And it was the most amazing thing from this kind of haggard person. She sent me a picture, and she's at the racetrack thing, and she's got this cute little summer dress. Just looked radiant. Just looked radiant. Like she was born anew. And the message that God kept giving me for her is that you're beautiful and you're elegant and you're capable and you don't need this nonsense that you are living with. That God, as soon as you can shift yourself about who you are, that quick God can act. Now, again, I don't know what happens on this whole thing. And that's a week and 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I don't know. I get these texts, I'm freaking out. I said, okay. And so it's the funniest thing. I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, remember, breathe. Remember. And this whole 2 weeks that's what I've been saying, remember. And I want to say that to you and I want to say to me, remember who you are. Remember that every thought that you think is in your power. It's not in the power of somebody else that talks about you or somebody that you want to have their affirmation. It's wonderful to have affirmation. And I even think there's times you got to leave people out of your life when you don't get the kind of mutual feeding. I mean, I get that. But the message is, remember who you are. The old sage, the Apostle Paul, said in one of my favorite books of the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 2, 10, verse 10, he says, you are God's workmanship. And if you look in the original language, it's the idea of a masterpiece. And you say, oh, all these dark things have happened to me in my life. And how could I be a masterpiece? But every stroke of darkness and every stroke of lightness and color is what makes the texture and the tone of the beautiful portrait of who you are today. And all the things that you've done in the past that you go, oh my gosh, I did this thing and I'm not proud of it and I'm still struggling with this thing. They're pieces of your painting. Their textures and their hues and their colors, and they make you the most beautiful person. And today is the beginning of the rest of your life, as the old axiom says. And everything that happened to you up until this moment, if it doesn't serve you, let it go. Rewrite your narrative. And seriously, I would suggest and challenge you to sit down and write who you are. And can you say you're beautiful? Can you say that you're elegant? You know, I tried to do that. I said, holy God, I can't do this. I get it. It's not an easy thing. But now I'm all puffed up because God chose me at 11:45 at night to be part of this woman's journey. And it's really a magnificent feeling, and more than many, many times she says, "You saved my life." And I thought, it's not me. But then I thought, you know what? I got to be part of it. I got to be the angel. I showed up. I stayed awake. I made myself available. Yeah, I'm pretty cool. I did that thing. That's good. And breathe it in and feel good about it. And breathe it in and help people around you to realize that you're a creation of God, and that everything that happens to you in the past is designed to put you in a place to move forward, but you can only do it if you're present. If you allow fear from yesterday, the thing that happened to you in that relationship, or that job, or you fill in the blank, you know what I'm talking about, all the stuff that goes around in the brain, I call it monkey brain. I started taking yoga about, a year and a half ago, and love it. Absolutely best thing I ever did. And I'm kind of a monkey brain. I'm a guy with a lot of ideas and big ideas and fantastical ideas, and my brain just goes. And so when I go to yoga, and even when I'm not, I can use this breathing thing to calm myself down. And when I start feeling something of fear, and I'm not even identifying what it is, that it's something from the past, if I stop and if I remember to breathe, I can begin to understand where that fear is coming from. And I think we get so tied up in other people's stuff that it affects our magnificence. And when it affects our magnificence, that limits us in not only being all that God created us to be, but it limits us from helping other people. Because we're in our stuff. And it gets, if you think about it, people that have been through stuff, and I call it kind of a victim consciousness, there's this consciousness that somebody else did this thing to me, and poor me. And I live my life around this idea that somebody did this stuff to me. And God's saying, look, I came. I just love Romans 6, the old sage Paul. He says, you've been baptized with Christ. His blood is what allows you, his sacrifice allows you a new life. It allows you to go from this stuff that's monkey-minding your brain and letting it go, and breathing anew, and opening your heart, and breathing. I find it interesting in my own spiritual journey. I have for a long time I studied the Bible and the Christian tradition, and I'm so grateful for what I've learned, and I often wonder where I'd be if I didn't have that in my mind. But then with this yoga experience, it's all about the breath. And if you think about it, the two life forces that are so powerful, it's blood and it's breath. You can't live without either one of them. And it's like Jesus came to give us life and to sacrifice so that we could breathe and we could have a newness every single breath we take. We breathe in new life. We breathe in looking forward with confidence. We breathe in our power. And when I was talking with this gal, I said, take back your power. And this was a theme that keeps coming back up. And I know that there's people in this room, and myself included, that at some point, maybe continually or once this or that, you got a ding in the armor. And I just want to give you a key to take back your power. And when you go into that sacred place, that quiet place between you and the Lord, between you and Almighty God, think about those things in your life that have disempowered you. Those things where somebody was bigger and tougher and they overloaded you. It might have been a parent, it maybe was a neighbor or a spouse or something, a teacher, whatever it was. But somebody that was just like a monster. I want you to go in your mind and in prayer, and I want you to go back to that place. And I want you to stand up now that you're all full grown and you're powerful and you know that the living God lives inside of you. And I want you to replay the experience that creates the fear that limits you today. And I want you to go to that place and relive it and say, no, time out, it's not going to happen this way. Because you're nothing that can slow me down. I'm a child of the Most High God. Go back to that place, relive it, and recreate the outcome. You know what I'm saying? Go there. And it's not going to be something that just happens like this little church service and you go home and you're all healed. This is something that's continual. And again, it's every breath that you take. And I got a text this afternoon from this person. I'm freaking out. I said, okay, what is it now? She says, well, I want to go back to the guy in the Southwest. I just said, and it was a text, so I called her and I said, so you're having a little freak out. I said, I don't get it. I'm embarrassed to even say that I want to go back to this guy. I said, you know what? Look, it's common. It's totally common. And it is. I think she said she's been with this guy for 4 years. And so 4 years, she's used to that stuff, that experience. And I said, so you want to go back? Let's just get this right. To a hotel room with no money, getting beat up on, and all these other things that I don't feel liberty to share. You want to go back to that? I said, remember your mantra. Be stingy with what you allow in your brain. Be stingy. And if you get this feeling you want to go back, put in your brain those things that propelled you to leave. Get on the plane and change planes and go first class to Florida. It blows me away. It's just it's a wild story. Yeah. Was, and there was only one more ticket left, as she tells me, that... And there's other aspects to the story that I don't have time tonight, but this is stranger than fiction. And it's an ongoing deal. But I said, take your power back. And that's the thing that I'm beginning to work on in my own world. Some things in my past, and I'm 50 frickin' 5 years old. I'm no spring chicken anymore. And I'm all cool and collective as I know the Bible. I know this verse, and I can get around, and I can give an answer. It's nonsense. The healing that has to take place in me, guess what? It's just like the same that you guys have got to do. It's stuff. We're all the same. Everyone in this room except one. I know there's one of you that's perfect and whatnot. And that's your out. Oh, this doesn't apply to me. That's okay. We got to go back there. And the thing that I said to her, and when you feel like really inspired and it's not like you talking, it's just like coming out of you? I said, you need to rewire your brain. That feeling of that particular type of a guy, you need to retrain and rethink and create a different pattern. It might not be the same adrenaline push. Because you know how it is with men and women, both ways. It's, oh, she just does this thing to me and pushes that button and hoo-hoo. Same thing with the women. You know, it's like this kind of guy, he always turns out to be the wrong kind of guy. I told her, this is what you have to do, is you have to relearn how you feel. And it's not going to happen overnight. So, oh, good. And so I don't really have a fancy ending to this story because it's ongoing. But I have to tell you that when I wrote this little mantra, this little prayer about remembering to breathe, is that your power is at your disposal literally every breath that you take. And if you size up every thought that you allow to digest in your mind and heart, there's no stopping you what you can do. And so if you ever let me talk again, I'll give you the update on this thing. And part two. So that's it. I'm done. Thank you.
We will want to know how the wedding goes and part two of this. And is anybody here for the first time?